Filled with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River. River is a Bitcoin-only financial services company, which I have personally been using for years, and I'm a big fan of the product and company.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan too. And I'm a big fan, especially when it comes to referring my friend group to start their Bitcoin journey or acquire some Bitcoin, because in addition to being a Bitcoin-only financial services company, River also has personalized customer service. So a person can actually talk to a human being if they need to when they're getting their account set up or in the process of it. I also love the fact that they have no fees on recurring purchases. And they also recently instituted a proof of reserve. So if you choose to hold your Bitcoin at River instead of self-custody, which many people do choose that, you can verify on their site that they have 100% reserve Bitcoin for every Bitcoin that you hold.
River also just launched a very interesting feature, which is a 3.8% yield paid out in Bitcoin on your US dollar cash that you deposit at River. So you can hold that US dollar cash, earn that 3.8% yield in Bitcoin in your account in River. And important to note, this is all through a regulated banking partner of theirs at a FDIC insured institution. So I think the River is a great partner for Bitcoin and cash deposited.
Yeah, because as much as we'd love to live on a Bitcoin standard, at least you and I, we need cash to operate in the world. And so this allows you to be able to earn a very competitive yield on your excess cash and have it paid in Bitcoin if you choose and just continue to build your Bitcoin stash. So for anyone looking to start their journey, we invite you to join us at River by visiting partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin.
Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. I'm co-host Israel Munoz, joined with Lynn today. Lynn, how's it going?
Good. It's time for another highlights episode. We've done another 5 podcasts, so we like to do these. We started it out and we found that it's one of our more popular types of episodes because in this world, the only thing more scarce than Bitcoin is your time. So this gives you just kind of the high points of each of the last 5 episodes and ties together some of the thoughts and commonalities that Israel and I are seeing as we talk to these various guests. What do we have today?
Yeah, let's get right into it, I guess. We have in these recent 5 episodes a mix of 4 startups, 1 investor. So maybe we can start on the investor side. We had TimeChain, which is a fund within venture firm Concentric. So that conversation was with Alex Mann, partner at both TimeChain and Concentric. Let's start with that episode, and then maybe we can get into the other 4 startups that we covered. Okay, so the conversation with Alex Mann was really interesting story as far as his background as well. Have a listen if you're curious. But Alex comes from a entrepreneurial and kind of business background himself, and then stumbled into, you know, his current role and in VC, and kind of within that journey, he met a company that was doing some interesting things with Bitcoin, and that's how he kind of got to eventually pitching Concentric, which is a, you know, more generic software, traditional VC, to have a Bitcoin-focused fund. So that's a little of the background on TimeChain and Concentric. I think what makes this particularly interesting of a conversation to me, Lynn, and then I'll get your thoughts, was this is one of the examples of precisely the shift I think we'll continue to see with traditional VC and just traditional investment, or, you know, the direction that things are going with the maturity of the market, where you're going to have more of these two worlds kind of blend, right? And I know we've talked about this as well, and especially since we actually recently both attended a couple of fintech focused conferences recently, and you do kind of see how, you know, fintech and Bitcoin startups are just going to naturally blend.
And speaking of that particular episode, I was not a part of that episode because I was at a fintech conference in Mexico City that day. But I thought you did just a great job of talking with Alex, and so I got to listen to it as a listener would, and I did pull away some interesting thoughts. One, what you mentioned is that Alex started out as an operator or as a startup. And so I think that really adds a level of understanding to the VC space that is that's important because they have sat in the shoes of a startup founder before. So they have a lot more empathy about what's going on and what the trajectory is. And he also said that he'd had, you know, negative experiences with VC before. And so it, you know, it kind of shapes it. And we're seeing this, like even with Jeff Booth's conversation about shifting the VC perspective as the kind of the giver of money and does everything to really a partner with the startups. And I really heard that in your conversation with Alex, that he really views himself as a long-term partner with the startups that they're funding. Obviously, I love the focus on Bitcoin. And just I also pulled out of that this realization that those of us who have lived in the more privileged ecosystem, financial ecosystem of US, Europe, where money is available, where transactions are easy, sometimes it's harder to see the opportunities that Bitcoin provides. And he saw the opportunity first when he was in South Africa and then also in his work in Mexico that, you know, allowed him to have that light bulb moment that Bitcoin as a technology really can provide rails for improving global financial systems. And we see this, a lot of the founders that are creating some of the most innovative companies are located out of the mainstream financial systems. And so I loved Alex's way of really looking at it as a neutral financial system that a whole economy is going to be based on. He also mentioned something that I know that you had even mentioned in the podcast that Andy and Nico from Ego Death talked about, but was this incredible mismatch between the funding that's gone into crypto companies and the funding that's gone into companies that are built on Bitcoin technology. And so there are tremendous opportunities for the VCs, I think, that are really focused on that more solid ecosystem or technology of Bitcoin. And so he's seeing this. And in fact, I loved hearing that, you know, the first fund that they raised in TimeChain was so successful that they're just about to raise another fund that will provide follow-on capital to some of their early investors, as well to early investments, as well as to new opportunities that they're seeing at a much, you know, rapidly increasing rate of what's being created in the Bitcoin ecosystem.
Yeah, those are the, you know, great points and highlights from that conversation. It is a very recommendable episode for anyone that's interested in you know, how VC is kind of encroaching into the Bitcoin sector. Alex has a very kind of rational way of explaining as well from the investment lens how you should be looking at this. So it's, you know, highly recommend it. Alex kind of speaks to what you mentioned a little earlier as well in how you kind of need to, as a first step, believe that Bitcoin is here to stay for the long term. But if that's the case, then it's just a rational second step to realize that lots of companies, and there's going to be a whole, you know, kind of Bitcoin economy that's going to spur from that. So that's the approach they take from, you know, an early stage investor lens.
And I just want to underscore something that you just mentioned, Israel, and that's the fact that more this link that TimeChain is one of three funds that is operated by Concentric VC. Concentric has a traditional early stage tech investment company, you know, fund. They have a fund of funds, so they invest in other money managers or other VC funds. And then they have TimeChain, which is Bitcoin only. And I do think that more VCs will start looking at what the returns are in the Bitcoin space as Concentric has. And this is an aside, but I was able to meet with one of Alex's partners, founding partners of Concentric here in Mexico City last week. And he is more of the traditional VC side, but was talking about how pleased they were at the returns, the early returns that TimeChain has had and has experienced. And so, you know, where Alex is really the Bitcoin focus of that entire group, you know, it's fascinating to see how other VCs, I think, will increasingly pay attention to the space as being such an important driver of early stage tech growth. So yeah, good call on that point.
Yeah, no, certainly, and I think we are eventually going to get to the inevitability of kind of results speak for themselves, right? And we have a kind of unique mix of circumstances that makes this sector pretty opportune and unique. So maybe rounding that one out, great conversation with Alex and a VC within the Bitcoin sector. And then afterwards, let's get into the other four startups, which were, so let's see, we had Thunder, Simple Proof, and then we had a deep dive episode with Liquid, and our most recent episode with Mifiel. So maybe let's start with Thunder, Lynn.
Yeah.
What were some of your thoughts? I know you're big into the micropayments theme, yeah. So what?
And Thunder's a gaming platform, so this is a little bit out of the realm of what you and I generally, you know, interact with, because we're not gamers. But I love the perspective that Desiree and Jack, the founders of Thunder, you know, what they've basically done is taking a gaming platform that their first mission is to have fun games that engage with people, that people continue to game. But their payments are using the Lightning Network on Bitcoin to make immediate payouts. So they're totally changing the experience from the user perspective of being able to earn money from gaming, get paid quickly, and have a really easy experience on that. So what they've done is create a great onboarding experience into Bitcoin, because most of their users have never been in Bitcoin before. So it's their first touch point and their first experience. And if you look at it from a big perspective of micropayments, which is one of the big themes of Bitcoin innovation that I love to talk about, as you know, is the fact that I think so many industries can be completely remade by this concept of micropayments. It has not made sense for small payments to be made in traditional finance because of the cost of sending a transaction or collecting clawbacks. But with Bitcoin on the Lightning Network, you can make fractions of penny payments, immediate settlement at an immediate basis. So it changes the game for gaming. And so I love that aspect of it. And I love the fact that they're bringing in new people to the Bitcoin ecosystem using this incredibly engaging and entertainment focused methodology. But both Des and Jack are true Bitcoiners. And I loved the conversation about how they kind of came together, how they founded it, and just the growth trajectory of where Thunder is headed. What did you think, Israel?
Yeah, kind of addressing a real pain point, just using the Bitcoin Lightning rails, right? During the conversation with Desiree, it did kind of click for me that, yeah, you know, maybe there are some of these gaming platforms that have customers overseas. And if they've accumulated, I don't know, let's just say $7 in payouts, you know, and these are high volume platforms as far as the number of customers, with, you know, maybe some of them being smaller payouts, but she says that lots of them just kind of they end up getting stuck in that ecosystem, because of course, you know, it's probably not going to be economically worth it or feasible for a company to, you know, a B2C payment overseas to pay out, you know, $5, $6, $7 or whatever it may be. So you start to see definitely how this whole world of micropay, and this is just one tiny, you know, fraction or example within a very niche industry. But, you know, when you kind of just step back and take the global view into what micropayments will enable, it is a pretty, you know, interesting conversation for me, from that perspective of realizing, you know, wow, these small instant settled payments just globally is kind of just going to very much so connect commerce, right?
And you had mentioned in the episode you did some research ahead of time at just how massive the gaming industry is, which I didn't realize how large it was. And so I think those of us who aren't gamers don't realize the financial impact globally. But then, you know, when you start really thinking broadly, the whole creator economy, if you have a musical artist, like a singer who's just getting started, and instead of, they don't have a label, or even if they're, you know, if there's Spotify, they get a very small fraction. But if you can go direct to your audience and get small micro payments on Noster platform, you know, it's like tips or zaps through the Lightning Network. All of that can really make a difference. Or if you're a writer, or if you're, you know, really any creative endeavor that you can earn small fractions of sats or small fractions of fiat, you know. but it can make a big difference. And especially when you, to your point, if you're in, you know, South Korea or India or Pakistan or somewhere, or, you know, where you don't have as ready a financial system, or you can't easily convert into, you know, take a dollar to local currency payment. I mean, it's just the opportunities are so exciting. So, yeah, I'd encourage giving that episode a listen, because I think even broader than just what Thunder is doing, which is super impressive, just to think, open up your mind and think about what the world can look like when micropayments become, you know, ubiquitous around, you know, transactions. So the next company is Simple Proof, which is really, you know, creating a system for information integrity based on Bitcoin blockchain. And it's another really creative example of how Bitcoin technology is being used, but this time initially in voting records. So give us your download on Simple Proof and what you took out of that, Israel.
Yeah, I mean, being very honest, that one was very out there for me initially. I mean, just kind of getting my head around what election data integrity had to do with Bitcoin at first was, and probably for most people, something pretty abstract. But that just kind of goes to show, you know, how much there is still to unlock just generally in the future of kind of this technology, right, and its applications. But so Simple Proof, they had a great, I mean, Carlos does a great job explaining, you know, his background's relevance as well to how he landed at Simple Proof. He started as an elections auditor in Guatemala, and now he's working on a solution for that industry, right? Simple Proof is a very interesting concept of using Bitcoin's cryptography through what he calls, you know, what he explains well, the Merkle tree method, and basically just being able to anchor and use Bitcoin's natural properties of being an immutable open, you know, data, global database, to make sure that there's some data integrity, in this case for the elections in Guatemala. What were some of your thoughts then?
Yeah, I found it fascinating. Right now we're, I don't know, 2 weeks away from the U.S. election. And there's already, I mean, it's a very close election. Everybody's already questioning the outcome, even though the outcome hasn't even been realized. And so there's a need to verify information. And in the case of votes, what votes are real, what votes aren't real. In the case of voter registration also, you know, who's actually eligible to vote, and not just in the U.S., but globally. And so this example that Carlos gave in Guatemala, where each time, you know, every 10 minutes, the votes are actually locked into the Bitcoin blockchain, and the Bitcoin blockchain allows for data to be stored in it. And that's a permanent record. And he's doing it in a very efficient way that he explains in the podcast. So it takes up very little space on the Bitcoin blockchain, but yet somebody in the future can go back to a past time and look at that information and verify if it's accurate or not. I think it's a super important use case for it. And then you can expand that out and think, not just votes, but any kind of records. I think in these days of rapidly advancing AI, where information can be subject to question, like, is that real or was it generated by artificial intelligence? This can be a super useful case of how the Bitcoin blockchain is more than just a financial instrument, but also just an instrument of information integrity. So, yeah, fascinating. Again, just gives your mind a lot to think about when it comes to what are the possibilities of this technology for other use cases beyond, you know, the really important one of a solid monetary system. Both Thunder and Simple Proof are examples of founders that are taking one particular niche and they're doing it really well. But the opportunities that both of those companies have to expand outward and what the use cases are, I mean, you know, you have your proof of concept that they're both doing in their respective areas, but the bigger implications of how they're using this technology, the new ways they're finding to use Bitcoin technology in its variations are just fantastic to think about. So I think it can help, you know, people really see Bitcoin as more than a token or a security equivalent or whatever, and to view it as a technology with a lot of opportunity attached to it.
Yeah, certainly. So that one was a very different application. And then Let's move on to the next episode from this recent set, which would be the deep dive with Liquid. So Liquid is one of the better known layer two solutions for the Bitcoin blockchain. I feel like it's been kind of under the radar for the past few years. My perspective, just very personally kind of speaking, I remember first hearing about it, I believe maybe 2017. I could be off there with the dates, but I feel like it's starting to kind of breathe a whole lot of new life, right? And the last two episodes actually had a strong link to it. But starting with Adolfo from Liquid, what were some of your takeaways, Lynn? I mean, it was very broad conversation, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, this was our first deep dive episode. So it was a new experiment for us where we take a technology that has come up from a couple of our startup founders. And actually, it came up in the first episode we ever did with Samson Mao of Aqua and Jan3. And he's using Liquid. And so these different application cases. But Adolfo just is a really great thought leader in the space, and he's done a lot of research and writing, and he works for Blockstream now, which is the leader. They developed Liquid protocol, but it's just a way of creating more usability, less expensive, immediate. As I think as Bitcoin moves from a store of value to a medium of exchange, this provides the rails for it. And also with Arnab, in our last highlights episode, we talked about Stalker and Arnab and what they're doing to remake capital markets utilizing Liquid too. So with a couple of these cases, we went to Adolfo and asked him to do a deep dive for our listeners on what is Liquid and what are some of the perspectives. And I just thought the conversation was fascinating, and especially his perspective that a lot of these use cases will be coming from emerging economies that have less direct ties to the US dollar or less direct involvement in capital markets in the US and Europe, and more, in economies that need that transaction piece to help them convert from their local currency into dollars or to give them the opportunities to participate in these global financial markets. So I mean, again, just really opened your mind to what the possibilities are when existing capital markets can expand their user base into a global system using Bitcoin technology, specifically with Liquid.
Yeah. So if you're at all interested in the future of capital markets and how that may pan out using Bitcoin technology as the base layer, that's definitely a great episode to get into. And I think Adolfo, sometimes you have some of these niche infrastructures or themes that can be very technical. And I think Adolfo does a very good job explaining, one, why Liquid is important, just from a very broad level, how, governance systems work, what Bitcoin can, the base layer can and cannot do. Just kind of from a very broad approach, Adolfo does a great job explaining why Liquid is useful and why it's important. And then also getting into a little bit of the mechanics, how it works, and some of the use cases. So it's, if you're curious to understand at a slightly deeper level how Bitcoin's Liquid network functions and why it's important, have a listen to that. And speaking of use cases, he specifically mentions, which kind of leads us to the next and final one in this set, the very successful use case of MiFiel, which is securing and signing digital contracts in Mexico for a very, again, niche application. But so that takes us to the last episode in the set, MiFiel. Lots to talk about there as well. But what were your thoughts there, Lynn?
Well, I have a personal relationship to this particular episode because I met the founders, Tomas and Hannah, 10 years ago, and when they were launching the very first Bitcoin exchange in Mexico. And I was so excited to see a Bitcoin exchange launch in Mexico that was called Volibit. And so we connected and kept track with them for a while, including when they launched MiFiel, which was a digital signature platform. And that was to enable them to help onboard people to the exchange because of it was verifying the signatures. But over the years, totally lost touch with them. And then Adolfo mentioned them and it's like, oh my gosh, look at what they're doing now. So they've expanded the digital signature piece to a specific financial instrument that's very common in Mexico and Latin America called a promissory note, which just kind of makes an easier way of securing a financial transaction where somebody is borrowing money from or having any kind of financial transaction that's not immediately settled. It just gives the lender or the person fronting the goods or whatever a verification that they'll be paid. Anyway, $1.5 billion in promissory notes secured by MIFIL via the Liquid network since 2023. So it's really growing rapidly, this particular use case. And again, here's a set of founders that are using one particular very, focused use case, but the potential for this, for digital contracts, for financial transactions using the Liquid network is just an enormous opportunity that expands every country and every ecosystem. So it's a fascinating look at how, obviously Tomas, especially, and Hannah have been involved in Bitcoin since early days and deeply understand the technology and deeply understand the markets of cross-border global financial transactions. And so they were able to create something that has never been done before by utilizing this technology. So I think it's an exciting episode. And it was one that I was just, happy to reconnect with people that I saw early on in my Bitcoin journey.
Yeah, and they gave some great lessons and takeaways as well, just from general, the entrepreneurial journey. I mean, they've been kind of pivoting and working within the Bitcoin startup space for 10 years now. Maybe a little more actually, but there's some great just general pieces of advice and takeaways as well there from how to kind of build an early stage company within the Bitcoin space, but there's also some great advice just on that journey, broadly speaking. So it's a great episode. Definitely highly recommend that. I mean, it's also kind of one of these use cases you don't immediately think of. And they kind of speak to that as well, right? That Bitcoin technology just turns out to be the efficient way of doing this. And lots of their customers don't necessarily even need to know that it's being used in the back end. And they're working, they've been vetted by some very large banks. Some of the people they work with are heavy hitters. And it just kind of goes to show, that this technology is solving some niches and inefficiencies that you just maybe at first wouldn't think of. And I'll just kind of round all that out to say as well, on that episode, Tomas and Hannah do a great job explaining where blockchain technology can apply, but also where it doesn't make sense, right? And kind of explaining in a succinct way where they see the applications of Bitcoin's blockchain technology actually making sense. So that's a high, great episode as well.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, Israel, that you highlighted, is that, I love the advice you give to startup founders, but especially the fact that don't just stick blockchain on any existing, financial system and feel like it's a better system or a better fix. It's like blockchain is not necessarily a fix for everything and sometimes adds a layer of complexity. And I think that we tend to take a concept like tokenization, or issuing tokens around a company or putting a blockchain on it and feel like because it's new, same with AI too, that it attracts more funding or it solves something when often it doesn't. It doesn't add anything. And so what I love about MIFIL is they've taken, they've created an entirely new way of transacting and using the Bitcoin blockchain to, in this particular use case. But it's a new system. So don't necessarily look at just attaching something to an old system, but think creatively about what problem are you solving and how might the technology be applied. So yeah, the lessons learned were good ones from them.
Yeah,
and they've been through it too.
Yeah, they have, and they get into all those pivots and why they did it, right? So it's a great conversation.
It's wonderful to see founders who really persevere and the resiliency. So that makes them really special too.
Yeah. And then, I have a feeling they're going to be having some success in Mexico's promissory note market. So we'll definitely, have to loop back in with Mifiel at a later date. And that, I guess, that rounds out the five episodes, right? So those are the, I guess, main takeaways of the most recent conversations that we've had. Again, one on the investor side and these other four startups, which are each attacking a very niche market and just kind of using Bitcoin technology generally in ways that you don't traditionally think of. So, I can't say I recommend one more than the other, but take your pick on the theme and, conversation and do encourage the listeners to have a, take an hour and have a listen at any of those conversations that particularly interest you.
Yeah, I think it's, one of the goals you and I had from the very beginning of Build with Bitcoin is to showcase that Bitcoin is a really innovative technology. And that in addition to, just buying or selling Bitcoin itself as an asset, that there's so much that the technology itself can unlock in terms of improving our, many, many different systems. So I love this collection of five episodes because I think they really do highlight a lot of what we see is the promise and the opportunity from Bitcoin technology.
Yeah, certainly. And, I guess maybe before we hit stop here, Lynn, any takeaways? Both you and I participated in fintech conferences, more traditional fintech, nothing to do with, Bitcoin or crypto specifically, but any takeaways, Lynn? I mean, it was an interesting, it was, for me, it was an interesting event, very different than the one that you participated in, and mine was a bit smaller, but what are your thoughts from going into heading to a fintech event and observing things from the outside, I guess, to put it that way?
Yeah, I attended Finno Summit in Mexico City, and they have it in Europe and then also Mexico City. And I'd been to it before. I'd actually been a speaker years before. And it's a fantastic conference, but very, it just really opened my eyes to where there's still so much that so many people and so many companies that aren't even aware of how the Bitcoin technology might open up opportunities and what they're working on. And so it really felt like we're so early, and that there are so few people who are really attuned to these opportunities and improvements and inefficiencies and cost structure that Bitcoin technology can unlock. So it was fascinating to me. I think we spend so much time in this ecosystem that it just feels native to us, and running into old VC friends and old founder friends at the conference and seeing that there's still a lot of education and a lot of awareness building that can be done. And I just think we all benefit from it. But I loved, seeing what's kind of the conversations are around fintech, especially in the LATAM region and how much we've improved economic systems. But I still think that there's a lot more improvement that can easily be done. So by utilizing more Bitcoin technology.
Yeah, similar to what some of my thoughts were coming away from the conference that I participated in, which was also a LATAM-focused fintech summit. I think you put it quite perfectly, Lynn. I won't extend too much on that, but just kind of echo some of those thoughts. Kind of does still remind you how early we are with this technology. There's still some pretty large educational gaps. I mean, I noticed there's still a large misunderstanding on what sets Bitcoin apart from the rest of quote unquote crypto, even from just the technology lens, right? From the financial technology lens, why those are different technologies, there's still a big misunderstanding there. It goes to show that it's going to continue blending in a positive way, I believe. Latin America, I think, is an interesting market, particularly within fintech. I mean, it's very clear that people are hungry to innovate, to solve problems, and use the best technology for that.
Yeah. Well, I'll just add one more side note to that is in Mexico City at the new Casa de Satoshi, they're hosting an event tomorrow night called FinTech on the Bitcoin Blockchain. And this is part of Mexico Tech Week, which is a week-long really awesome collection of events. I think there are like 140 different events taking place through the week for early stage founders and investors and technology companies and big supporters like Amazon Web Services to all come together and exchange ideas. And so there's, you know, over 150 registrations for it. So I think there's an appetite for learning about how the ecosystem can benefit by looking at these new technologies. So yeah, little by little, but it'll be, you know, I think fintech is one of the first verticals or areas in tech development that, you know, will be the way to incorporate some of the Bitcoin technology for greater efficiency.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that. It feels like things are picking up in the ecosystem. You know, I guess all that being said, you know, thank you for listening, and keep the feedback coming. We've seen more engagement lately. If there are comments, suggestions, or anything else that you'd like to reach out to us on, you know, please don't hesitate to get in touch.
Thanks for listening to the Build with Bitcoin podcast. If you found benefit in what you heard in this episode, we'd truly appreciate it if you would like, share, or leave a comment on whichever platform you're listening, as this helps others find us, which is especially important for a new podcast. And as a reminder, our content is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not to be considered investment advice or recommendation to invest in any company or asset mentioned in the podcast. Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River, a full-service, 100% reserve custody, Bitcoin-only financial services company. For your next Bitcoin purchase, use our exclusive link, partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin. Thank you sincerely for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.